An array of options exist for businesses, small and large, to get some help starting and going from government at all levels. You might have noticed that a bunch of those options focus on the smaller businesses, probably in the hope that they'll become bigger businesses over time. Those include the Office of the Small Business Advocate, housed in the Oregon Secretary of State's office. The current Small Business Advocate is here with us today on her way to a session later this week at Klamath Community College. Ruth Miles is her name, and she's our guest. Ruth, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
I'm happy to be here.
Give us some idea what goes on in the Office of the Small Business Advocate.
Well, unlike other state agencies that involve themselves with business, we really are focused on removing the roadblocks for small businesses. And just to clarify, my small is 100 employees or less, a for-profit organization. That's not everybody's small. There's no state definition of small business. The SBA says small is 500 employees or less. So small is pretty relative when you think about it, but most of our state is small businesses. The SBA, using their 500 employees or less definition, says it's like 97.8%. It's a huge amount. So even my small is most of the businesses in the state. But what we do is help those businesses solve problems that they have with state government, a real-time challenge that they've got.
You know, so many politicians run in talking about wanting to remove the obstacles from small business. So, I mean, was the office created by legislation, by the decision of the Secretary of State, or how did the office itself come to exist?
Great question. So when current Governor Kate Brown was the Secretary of State, she asked legislators to make this a statutory office. And there's a couple of reasons for doing that. First reason is to protect the work, to protect the businesses that ask for help, and to make sure that, that the work has a life to it. And then she asked them to put it outside of the executive branch. The Secretary of State, as you know, in Oregon, it's her own constitutional office. So she's not part of the executive branch. And so that means all of her agency and her appointees, like me, are also outside the executive branch. And it means that if I need to criticize an executive branch agency, then I can do so with impunity.
Interesting. Is that written in the job description, ability to criticize state agencies?
Let's say not the official job description.
Okay. So the position hasn't existed that long. I mean, you've only been in the job for, what, a year and a half or a little more than that?
Year and a half and change, yeah. So they passed the legislation during the 2013 session, legislators did. And then we opened the office to help businesses January 6th, 2014. So, yeah, just over a year and a half. And it's been a flat-out sprint. It's been a fabulous experience. There apparently was some pent-up demand because January 6th was my first day. I learned how to turn on the light and my computer. And then Wednesday, a case came in. And we had no systems to help out. But clearly, this gentleman needed help. And so, you know, we were off to the races. Boom, there you go.
How did people know to refer that gentleman to you? And what was the nature of the complaint?
Well, he had been waiting for me to come on board.
Oh, really? So it really was pent-up demand.
Yeah, in his case, it was. In his case, it was. In fact, I could tell you about another case to give you kind of a sense of what it looks like on a practical level.
Please.
When we help a business. So I was speaking at a chamber event elsewhere in the state, and I'd finished my prepared remarks and took questions, and a hand goes up in the back, and it's Lila. And she says, "I sell fuel. I have gas stations. I sell B20 biodiesel fuel, and ODOT requires a lot of paperwork for me to sell this fuel." And she says, can you help with that? And I said, God, you know, I've not really had anybody complain about paperwork before, but let me come by and take a look at it. Let me first give you the context. During the 2013 session, not only did legislators create my office, they also passed a bill that forgave the state sales tax on sales of B20 biodiesel fuel, only retail sales to non-farm vehicles under 26,000 pounds. Now, the state sales tax is a pretty big chunk. It's 30 cents a gallon. So it adds up.
And it's only on fuels, right?
It's only on liquid fuel. Mm-hmm. So that's the liquid fuel calculation. So they passed that bill, and this is what Lila was needing to do paperwork for. So I go to her office after the event is over with, and she's got an emergency to deal with, but her staff knows what to do. They put me in her office. They sit me at a client chair next to her desk, and they bring in 1 month's worth of documentation for B20 biodiesel fuel. And I was astounded because the stack of paper was as high as my nose. So conservatively, I'm estimating that was over 3,000 pages. Just a huge, huge amount of paper. I was thinking she meant 20 to 50 pages.
Right.
And I thought that would be excessive. Thousands of pages. And this is just one month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's not just Lila. It's everybody in the whole state who sells B20 biodiesel fuel has to do something like that, more or less, depending on the size of their organization. Now, Lila is a small business that meets my definition quite easily. She's not a huge player. She's certainly not the biggest in the state by any standard. So for her to have that amount of paperwork was really frightening to me, because you think about folks that have one station or maybe two mom and pop organizations having to do that kind of paperwork. It's crazy. So I start digging through the paperwork. There's summary sheets on the top. How much B20 biodiesel did they sell, you know, in a retail pump to non-farm vehicles under 26,000 pounds? How does that break out by station and by pump? And then I dig down below the summary sheets, and it's both more tedious but also more interesting, because what I found was thousands and thousands of pages. They could only be described as sales logs. And so this is how it works. I talked with the staff. They explained the whole practical thing. So if you have a diesel vehicle and you want to put biodiesel in it, you can. And if you roll up to a B20 pump and you have a non-farm vehicle under 26,000 pounds, then they'll pump the gas for you, or the diesel. And then they've got to record the sale. So they record the date. They record the pump number. They record the total gallonage of the sale, how much they put in your car. And they also record your license plate, which is super creepy to me, but I guess maybe to other people too, but the license plate. And they do this sale after sale after sale after sale on the clipboard. And then at the end of the day, a new sheet, sale after sale, or when they finish the sheet. And Lila is apparently selling a ton of B20 biodiesel fuel, because these sheets are what really make up the bulk of the stack. It's only a couple of sheets at the top that are the summaries. And so, because Lila's not stupid, she's been in business for a long time. Anything she sends into the government, she keeps a copy of herself. And I would recommend anybody who's in business do that. So she not only amasses this entire stack of 3,000 plus pages, she then makes a copy of it and keeps it in a filing cabinet at her office, and then sends the first originals to ODOT every single month.
And one drawer in the filing cabinet would fill up after probably 4 months, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So where was this business?
She's up in the Gresham area. Mm-hmm. She has stations in the East County, East Multnomah County area. But B20 biodiesel is sold all over the state, primarily up and down the I-5 corridor. But you can also find it in Bend, Ontario, a couple of other spots as well. So it's pretty readily available at this point.
Ruth Miles is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the Oregon Small Business Advocate, working out of the Secretary of State's office. We're talking about helping businesses with fewer than 100 employees and for profit. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about her job cutting red tape, as it were. 800-838-3760 around the region, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So what happens in a situation like that, one where did you get a reduction in paperwork? Did you get a new addition to make summaries, or how did you approach that?
Contacted ODOT. I explained the problem to them. We went back and forth a little bit. I had to do some research and learn a lot more about fuel, a lot more about cars. And let me tell you this, I learned that the average consumer car is 3,000 to 4,000 pounds. My little hybrid that I drive is 1,900 and change pounds. The heaviest consumer vehicle I could think of that you could go buy at a dealership in Oregon was a Hummer. Mm-hmm. That's just my limited imagination. Right. A Hummer, in fact, all of the models weigh about 7,000 pounds, depending on what equipment they have. So this, for them to be concerned about vehicles under 26,000 pounds, you would have to be stupid not to know that there's a vehicle that's 26,000 pounds that's coming into your station. It's easy to make that differentiation. But the reason they were recording license plates, it turns out, is so they could audit sales. But they had never audited any sales. So ODOT was saying, you know, we need to be able to make sure that nobody's trying to skate under the law and get the benefit of this tax forgiveness when they shouldn't. But that never did happen. And ODOT actually never checked any of the sales. And so all those license plates were in vain. What ended up happening is ODOT got their fuel sellers in a room. And they said, look, here's the information we need to report to the legislature. How much B20 biodiesel are we dispensing in a retail pump to non-farm vehicles under 26,000 pounds? So help us get that without making you go through all of the hoops that you've been going through. And the fuel sellers came up with this beautiful, beautiful, elegant solution. Instead of tracking all of those sales that I described that were thousands of pages of sales logs, instead, they're going to track the retail sales of B20 biodiesel to 26,000 pounds and up vehicles. Those are an extremely, extremely small amount, because that's a vehicle that's almost always a commercial vehicle that's almost never going to use a retail pump. And so excuse me, because of that, those vehicles and those sales are very small, very rare, and very stable. They track those one day a month. They extrapolate the number out for the rest of the month. They subtract it from the total retail B20 biodiesel dispensed at the pump at the station for the organization. And then they have the figure they need to report to ODOT. ODOT has what they need to report to the legislature. And more importantly, the stack of paper that I described goes down to about 2 to 5 sheets of paper.
I was going to ask if it got down to about 5 sheets. Okay, right,
huge,
down there. Yeah,
huge improvement.
Huge. But for the folks who are all for small businesses being successful and prosperous and not having to get stuck in a lot of paperwork, there's the usual responding concern of like, but are we still doing the regulations the way it's supposed to be done?
Mm-hmm.
And your answer is yes on that.
Absolutely yes on that. Here's the thing, though. The point of this office, we really have a threefold mandate. The first thing is to solve a problem for a business real time. We don't want the state to be the impediment to a small business growing. But when I say growing, I mean it has to be a level playing field. They've got to be able to grow in compliance. But every once in a while, there's a stupid regulation that needs to be changed. Maybe sometime in the future I can come down and tell you about SB 161 and personal property tax for businesses. That we got changed. And January 1st, we're going to see the fix actually implemented. That's going to be a big change for anybody that has physical capital for their business. You guys have physical capital, and that's taxable capital. So getting that fixed was a big deal. So yes, sometimes there are laws that need a little tweaking, but more often what my office ends up doing with agencies is pointing out process improvements or changes to administrative rule. They can do that themselves. They don't have to engage the legislature to do it. The other thing that's important to note about my office is that I don't do this in a vacuum. I want to make sure that I'm not just helping the businesses. I'm helping the state agencies do a better job working with their private sector partners, particularly small businesses, because that's our lifeblood here. And the other thing that I do is report all of this back to folks like you, your listening audience, to policymakers, to the Secretary of State, to the governor's office, to business leaders. That's partly why I'm here, is to make sure that people understand, hey, we fixed this problem, or hey, here's a little bit of a cautionary tale right now. We're this far on fixing that problem, and this is what's happening. So the idea is to make sure that everybody's involved, that it's not a private, behind-closed-doors kind of fix.
Ruth Miles is the small business advocate of the Oregon Secretary of State's office. Again, you're welcome to join us with questions or comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How big a staff do you have? Do you have a staff?
I have a staff of one, and well, plus me. So yes, I have administrative assistants, and Jorge in my office is also a native Spanish speaker, so he is fabulous when people feel more comfortable doing business in that language, and he's able to do some casework as well. And hopefully down the road, we'll be hiring another advocate who can do the level of casework that I do, which can get really hairy and complex, as you've already heard.
Yeah, no doubt. But the other thing is you have to be a quick study, too. I mean, you have to be able to figure out, okay, what are the basic issues we're trying to solve here, and what are the obstacles to the resolution of that issue?
Yeah.
It's almost like a journalist trying to figure out a story in a hurry, in the sense that you've got to figure, okay, I got 3,000 pages of stuff. How do I get this down in size and be able to do what the intent of the law was?
You're exactly right. And I think that's the thing that I'm so passionate about, is the opportunity to get to know a new business owner or several new business owners and new industries every single day, new regulatory systems every day. And, as I do the work, my knowledge base grows. So sometimes I'm able to give people a really quick answer or a really quick, hey, you know what, if you just do this one little thing, it'll work out for you. And it's going to work out for the state as well. But I love that opportunity. It's just this amazing learning experience.
But the potential here for some cracking heads, though, too, I'm thinking, where you end up against the likes of ODOT about, you realize what your regulations are doing here, and you mentioned getting some pushback from them. So there's going to be a certain amount of conflict inherent in the role, or at least adversarial developments.
A little bit of that. ODOT did push back, and they said, no, we can't change a thing about that regulatory system. We have that reporting system in place for a reason. We have to report the total amount of B20 biodiesel sold by these stations under this tax forgiveness bill. I understand that. They have an obligation. They've got to abide by the law themselves as an agency. But my point to them was, we got to find a way to think outside the box. And that is almost always the point that I'm making to agencies. One of the things that I bring to this role is a history in small business myself. And because of that, I've had to deal with government regulations from the outside as well as the inside. And it gives me a little bit more steam as I push back. And here's the thing. Most state employees are really good at their jobs. They want to do the right thing, and they want to see small business thrive in Oregon. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't want to see small business thrive in Oregon. Those are our neighbors and our friends that run those businesses, and we depend on them for our economy here in the state. So I just don't know a soul that wouldn't want to see those folks survive and thrive and grow. So once they understand that there's really a problem that really needs their attention, most agencies are pretty good about stepping up and doing something about it.
Do you get some cases, and I can imagine this happened in the B20 biodiesel case, where people went, oh, we really don't need all that stuff as long as we get this stuff?
Yes, yes, for sure. And that this was actually a beautiful example, because I hadn't thought of the reporting system that the fuel sellers proposed. ODOT didn't think of it. But once they widened the brain trust that was thinking about how are we going to comply with legislative fiat here and give them the numbers that they need, once they involve their fuel sellers, boom, they've got the solution right there. If it had been up to me, I would have said, hey, you know, go ahead and make them do the sales logs, but don't make them copy the darn thing and send it to you. Let them produce it on demand if you actually need to audit a sale. But they didn't really actually need that, because, you know, vehicles that are over 26,000 pounds are dealt with differently in Oregon's regulatory scheme.
I see you'll be talking at Klamath Community College as part of a session. It's a Rural Business and Innovation Summit on Wednesday, bringing home the bacon. But it sounds like you're also just sort of getting acquainted with people around the state.
Absolutely. And this is my first visit out to Klamath Falls as the advocate. And I'll be going to Lakeview later on this afternoon, as I mentioned. And so if anybody's interested in attending the conference, more information online at klamath.org. And certainly my office is online as well at sos.oregon.gov/business-SOS.
Ruth Miles is the Small Business Advocate in the Oregon Secretary of State's office. That's what the SOS stands for. Thanks so much for joining us today, and best of luck in your travels in Southern Oregon.
Thank you.